Are you stressed? Have restless nights? Racing thoughts? We've all been there. Imagine having a natural way to feel calmer, sleep better, and bring more balance into your day. That's exactly what CBD can do. And when it comes to CBD, nobody does it better than CBDFX. CBDFX has been around since 2014, and they're one of the most trusted CBD companies out there. Every product is made right here in the USA with organic hemp, no GMOs, no pesticides, and no harmful chemicals. Plus, everything is backed by third-party lab reports, so you know it's pure, safe, and effective. They've got something for everyone, from sleep gummies and tinctures to CBD capsules, topicals, and even CBD treats for your pets. So it's easy to find the perfect fit for you. Their products have become part of my daily routine, and honestly, they just help calm my nerves. Improving sleep has led to so many other benefits. I can think more clearly. I have more energy. The podcast is better, probably, I think it is. You tell me. I've spoken before about my personal favorite, the CBD and CBN night capsules for sleep, which help you fall asleep quickly and sleep soundly through the night. They contain CBN, cannabinoid, commonly known as the ultimate relaxation cannabinoid, and other natural sleep aids. They're vegan, gluten-free, and made with organic hemp. So whether you want calm, focus, better sleep, or just an overall wellness boost, CBDFX has something for you. And right now, our listeners can get 40% off of your first order with code HAUNTINGS at CBDFX.com. That's CBDFX.com. Use promo code HAUNTINGS and get 40% off today. Feel the difference with CBDFX.
We'll make it work. So,
all right, dude. Hey, I'm down. I'm ready when you are.
Okay. All right. Well, welcome everybody to our annual Best Horror Films of the Year episode. This is the one we save for the very end of the season. We don't really have anything important to say. So if you're one of those people who've tuned in hoping for some sort of bonus after our season finale, this ain't it. This is just a fun episode that hopefully you guys will enjoy and maybe get some ideas from, with maybe some of these films you haven't seen. Although there's a good chance that you will, because a lot of my stuff that we put on the list this year was fairly mainstream, really. I mean, there isn't a whole lot of it that isn't, but it was a few things here that might catch your eye. And it's supposed to be like 10, but I've got like 13 and a couple of also rans, just like we normally do. So, yeah. I mean, that's pretty standard. So, just to take care of a couple of things, you know, this is going to air on December the 16th. So later on this evening, I'll be hosting a Zoom event to raise a little extra cash for the big move for the American Oddities Museum, which is coming up on the 20th. I should probably tell you that we are recording this before our final weekend. So, you know what? It's how the sausage is made sometimes. There was no time for me to do this once our last weekend was going to air. Normally, Cody and I would do it on Sunday or Monday right before you guys hear it. But with everything going on this weekend, we had to start a little early. So I'll just thank all of you who came.
I barely made it
to the
time.
Museum, right? So anyway, so the event that I'm talking about that's for tonight, yes. That Zoom event is going to be at 7 o'clock Central Time. And the cost of it is entirely up to you. We have a link. You can go to AmericanHauntingsBooks.com, and right there in the on the top where you'll see like new books that are coming out or new things, you'll see a link with a Christmas card on it. You'll see that that is the Zoom link, and you can use one of the donation amounts that are on the form, or you can just write in whatever you want to pay. We don't care. We're grateful for whatever you guys want to do, but we would love you more if it was over $5. Anyway, just kidding. Actually, I'd love you a lot more if it was over $50, but you know, let's not get carried away. It's gonna be a fun event. I'm encouraging everyone to mix up a holiday cocktail and then just kind of enjoy the eerie customs of the past, Christmas monsters, ghostly tales of the holiday season, tragedies, murders, disasters, all those things that will definitely ruin someone's Christmas. But it's lots of ghost stories and it's the dark side of the holidays. So if that's something that sounds like fun to you, I hope you will join me later this evening for that. If you're not signed up, and we got a lot of people signed up already, but the more the merrier. I mean, we got no limit here. It is a Zoom event, so you can pretty much go for as many as you like. So please join us if you get time. If you're going to be free this evening, we'd love to have you. So finally, then, I also want to encourage everyone to check out the website for the 2026 Haunted America Conference. The website's up and running. It has this year's roster of speakers and presenters, the after-hour events, the tours, the ghost hunts, the workshops, everything else you need. And I should also tell you that vendor spaces are now on sale for 2026. They went on sale on the 8th, and we've sold, I think we filled over a dozen of them so far. So we can only do so many once we get past the speakers and stuff. So if you are thinking about being a vendor at the conference this year, now is the time to get that set up. We would love to have you. It's going to be a good one. So anyway, general admission tickets for the conference, which I'll keep harping on my American Nightmares podcast, those tickets go on sale January the 12th. So, in speaking of American Nightmares, this coming week, I will be taking this Friday off. We had an episode, or you will have heard an episode on the 12th, but I will be taking off this week because I'm going to be in the process of trying to get the museum all packed up to be moved on the 20th. So I will have another episode coming on the 26th. Then we'll go from there. So anyway, guys, thanks so much. And I think, would you like me to go? Do you got any emails or anything you want to read before we get going here with the list?
No,
I got a few hotline things I want to cover.
Let's hit the hotline, man. Well,
we won't be back. I mean, you know, as far as, I don't have plans to do the hotline on the American Nightmares podcast, mostly because no one comments on it. So I encourage it every week, but hey, it's only been 5 episodes, so I guess I'll give them a little bit of slack there.
They still listen to you, Troy.
Yeah, worry. I hope so. I hope they're listening. So anyway, this one is, as soon as I said that, here is a text about, well, it mentions American Nightmares. It says, I'm loving the American Nightmares podcast. And no, not because Cody's not in it. So see, it's not. Yeah, see.
That's Troy, sweet.
It is also my guilty pleasure, as all 4 of your current offerings are. But I especially love your approach on nightmares. Just sending some feedback because I wanted to want you to keep up the good work. So thank you for giving me intelligent content to binge on my long drive back and forth to the city where I work. This is, by the way, coming from the 724, which is Pennsylvania.
So, I was going to say, is this coming from the 618 from your house?
No. It's Western. Yeah, no, it's Western Pennsylvania, and it's not Renee. So I feel better about that. Mm-hmm. Although I'm guessing maybe they work in Pittsburgh with the 724. It's hard to say. Anyway, I know I can always rely on you to do good research and provide an accurate, impartial, and unbiased. I don't know about those two. I work hard on the accurate. I'm definitely not impartial or unbiased, but I'm glad they believe that. But it's historical perspective of events that we all feel we know intimately, and sometimes I'm finding that I know them incorrectly. I don't know how you are as thorough as you are with the volume of content for so many podcasts, but you're prolific. Keep up the good work. I'll be listening, always listening. And just downloaded Frailty from Amazon. So getting back to our other podcast. Yes. I'm so curious. I can't wait to watch it for the first time. Well, this one came in on December 2nd. So I'm going to guess that they've watched it by now. So hopefully they liked it as much as we did.
Let us know what you think, what you thought if you watched
it. Yeah. So this one is from the 904. And it says, hey, Troy and Cody, love the podcast. Love the Patreon. I've binged Holmes, Gein, and Fish. And that man was a lot. Yeah. I'm so glad I listened to the series before I watched the Netflix monster. Even though it was entertaining, it's always good to know the real story before they take all the creative liberties. Keep them coming. I did leave a 5-star review. As long as I keep binging, hope to hear it soon. Would love some of that cool swag. So that I cannot vouch for. Cody is the one who does those. So I'll leave that to him.
I do
have a couple of those that I have mailed out. by the way. Okay. So we do have a couple that are on the way for people whose reviews we read. This one's coming to us from Melissa in the 847, and she says, late as usual, but I'm glad we share the correct opinion that the Changeling, it's not late. I mean, it's, you listen whenever you get a chance to listen. Yeah. That's the beauty of podcasts. Glad that the Changeling is the best haunted house movie of all time. One of the most perfect spooky movies. Hope you and Cody had a great and happy Thanksgiving. So yes, that was nice. And that came in just last week. So, and then we have one left, and it is, this was from, Lindsay, who's, review we read last time, because I just mailed her some stuff out. So, but okay. She says, hey, Troy and Cody, thanks for taking time to read my review from Apple. I've been listening for a couple of months now, and I've turned the gals I work with onto the podcast as well. We all love the spooky stuff. In fact, my friend Saya made it to the Frailty episode before I did, and she had a good laugh at how geeked out I was over you guys mentioning my review. I'm on to the Patreon episodes now, and I'm still loving them, but missing the Cody banter at times. It's just a different kind of podcast is all.
And the I love it.
Branches of the podcast are great so far. So that's the nightmares and dread. Thanks for providing a reliable podcast that I've enjoyed thoroughly. It's been a trip these last couple of months, experiencing so many years of your lives with the ups and downs. No kidding. Because that goes back quite a few years now. This was our ninth season we just finished.
Think about how much personal stuff we put out there too.
Oh my God, I know. I already know in the drunk episodes. You know, the people in them that are now not.
I know. God.
Oh my gosh. And COVID and all that.
We have to quit. We have to quit the podcast. This is too much. Oh my God.
No kidding.
Holy fuck.
Anyway, but thanks so much. And she listened to it over a couple of months. Imagine. No, I don't go back and listen to them. That's a good reason.
I have to sometimes, but holy shit.
I know. So I do. Sometimes I'll go back and pull some material from some of them because I'm working on something else.
You're working on some bits.
But I don't read I don't listen to any of this stuff other than just the story.
I get it.
Anyway, and she also adds that as a side note, if Cody's able to add any larger sizes to the t-shirt store, I'd be happy to grab a few in the near future. I don't know what the situation is.
I'll update on that in a second.
So maybe I know sometimes some stuff that you can add to, and they've changed things a little bit with some of the stores things with the printing, and so that's always good, you know, when we have a little bit more variety. So
So basically there's an update just on the store in general. There are a lot of designs that we've put out there that now
get a lot of our old designs that go back years
even before I knew you
and over to Cody. There's stuff you didn't even know me when we did
something, so a lot of that so basically what I do is I upload art, whether it's created by myself or somebody else or whatever, and then I pick some sort of a t-shirt or something
type of material, et cetera,
and eventually those things either run out or they change or they boom and so some of them like are kind of like, I think they call them expired, so I need to go through and revamp that whole store and be like, let's make sure that everything now has a new home to be printed on they can get shipped out, and I think I'm going to do that, and then I'll make sure that everything we have in that store has extra small, the 3XX, like whatever.
Well, actually, I think we usually do when we have shirts printed for events and things.
Yeah.
We usually do up to 4X. But occasionally I will have somebody ask me if we can get anything bigger. Because we get some really tall people and, you know, some good sized guy people and stuff. So
we'll figure it out.
If I can do it, I always do. So,
That's going to be, honestly, Troy, one of the best things about us getting to take a little
year break
is that I get to mess around with stuff like the website and the clothing store. So I'm going to look into all that stuff. Everything should be good. Like I think I set myself up last time saying it looked like an Apple store. Shouldn't have done that, but it's going to look nice. It'll all be good.
Yeah. All right, cool.
Yeah, cool. Man. And I love people earlier, like being late and this and that. Like Troy and I have been trying to record this episode for 3 days.
This is like our third try.
Yeah. And one time I didn't have internet. I've been in this seat for 10 hours, I think, pretty much.
Well, and I get it. I mean, I get it. Me too. I mean, that's
the corporate
that's
grind.
That's my standard
over here,
day. Well, mine isn't corporate. Yeah, I'm just in this chair.
Imagine, Troy, if you weren't your own boss, though.
And so,
I'm sitting here just like rocking back and forth. Yeah. And then I usually ignore my phone, and then I see text messages. I see a call, and I'm like, "Holy shit!" It's after five. Why am I?
Yeah,
still
I'm thinking,
here?
Where is he? Yeah, because normally, I mean, I don't usually hound you.
I was working, and I was being inconsiderate. And now,
no, you weren't. No, you weren't. You were doing your job.
Yeah, but I have two jobs.
Yeah, once I understood what was going on, then I didn't bother you anymore. So
I appreciate you. I respect you. We have both had really long days.
Yes.
Let's fucking unload on this episode.
On some of these movies.
And let's talk about movies that we love this year.
Yeah, movies that we liked instead of, you know, digging up stuff like, you know, I don't want to talk about my biggest disappointment of the year and stuff.
Yeah.
28 years later. But I don't want to get into all that. It was really so disappointing. It had great people in it and everything, and I just wanted it to be good, and it just wasn't.
I asked Charlie Brackus, my oldest friend and old musician for the podcast. I said, hey, we're doing this horror movie thing. This is on Sunday. And I was like, you know, what'd you like this year? And he sent me four movies. Three of them are on this list. And the other was 28 years later. And I said,
really?
I'm not going to do that one.
And man, the ending was like so stupid.
It was so fucking dumb.
Yeah. It was like, you know what it reminded me of? The karate scene in Cabin Fever. You know, the kid that does the karate that bites the guy.
Yes.
That's what it reminded me of. No sense whatsoever.
We can't spoil anything, though. We got to remember that.
That's all I said. That's
you
all
and I
said.
We're getting, we're
just
getting dangerous.
Reminded me of it. Yes.
But no, Troy, let's talk about the stuff we actually did like.
Yes.
You and I. Isn't it funny how you and I immediately start going into bitching about things?
Well, I tried to put this list when I sent you my list. I tried to put it in order of when it came out.
Oldest
and newest, because I don't like to try to, I mean, I'll take 10, 12 movies and I don't want to say, oh, this one was the best one, you know, because most of these I ranked either within a half star of each other. Everything that made it on the list was either four or four and a half stars.
It has to be.
And then I had a couple that were close that I just wanted to give passing mention to at the end. But other than that, so let's start with number one, which I put on the list from last February, which was Hard Eyes.
And this is one of the only ones I haven't seen on the list.
It's a Valentine's Day horror movie, which every holiday needs one, you know, and anyway.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't even call this necessarily like a scary film. It was more of, it's kind of hard to describe. It's a slasher movie, but it's also kind of a rom-com. It's a horror film, but there's some really funny stuff in it too. And there's a love story, and the detectives in it are Jordana Brewster from the Fast and the Furious movies. And then Devin Sawa from, Chucky. I mean, he's done a ton of stuff.
Yeah.
Early Final Destinations, that the first one and stuff. He's done a lot of stuff. So, and they're really funny in it. So it was kind of a lighthearted, you know, thriller, I guess.
Sure, I would put it.
I just really enjoyed it. We had a fun time. We went to the theater to see it, and it was silly, but in good ways. You know,
I love it.
Kind of like number two on the list, which was The Monkey, which is fucking hilarious.
Yes.
I mean, it shouldn't be hilarious, because you find yourself laughing at everybody who's brutally, horrifically murdered in this film.
I knew this has been a horror thing for a long time, but like I didn't understand. I was like, why are they doing this again? How are they doing this? What's going on here? Like, and it's ridiculous.
It is. I mean, but here's the thing. This is one of this is like three Stephen King stories that are on my list this year, which just goes to show you that this dude never goes away. We just keep bringing him back, and there'll be something else, I'm sure, coming up. Well, yeah, Flanagan did Carrie reboot this company, but it's completely different than Carrie that we've seen before. So, oh, I mean, God. It's Flanagan. So it's But this movie, I thought, when I first saw, well, for one thing, it's Oz Perkins. So that in itself was a good news for me. You know, I was excited when I saw it was him because I always like his. He hasn't done anything I haven't liked so far.
Yep.
I don't think. But anyway, this movie was not. I just kept thinking, how in the world do you do a movie of this? I mean, it's a short story, and I thought, you know, it will be interesting. But then once I saw the trailers for it, I'm like, this is gonna be different. And man, I'm telling you, this movie is so good. I just rewatched it again the other night. Theo James playing twin brothers.
Fun.
It's this family that they have their father's old. He buys this monkey from an antique store, and the film opens with him trying to return it.
Yeah,
he wants to bring it back, and that's when the monkey strikes the first time. That's when it happens first. And then they find it up in the attic. And then this monkey continues to wreak havoc in the lives of these two kids. And one of the brothers is pretty okay. The other one is horrible. The other one is a terrible, nasty brother. But there are just so many good scenes. Now, if you've read the original story or you've seen any of these monkeys, you're going to know that this particular monkey doesn't look like most of them because they were not allowed to. And I think I told you this, but they weren't allowed to use the monkey with the symbols. Which
some IP stuff, I guess.
Yeah, from Disney because they have it for Toy Story.
Toy Story 3.
They had to use the drum instead, but it doesn't matter.
So it's funny.
Still works. The monkey is still there and it still works.
But don't fuck with the mouse, dude.
No, well, you don't. Right. Well, you also don't fuck with this monkey. I still think after the monkey, and here's a small spoiler, that it happens really early, but something happens to a babysitter, right?
Uh-huh.
And I thought I might lose it in the theater when we went to see this, when the priest gets up to give her funeral.
Yeah.
And he walks up and he goes, well, fuck, you know, and it's like, you know, okay. You know, and I'm like,
it's great.
It's so good. And this movie is, I mean, it's cool from start to finish. It's wild. I mean, it is insane.
Yes.
And it's got a great cast and it's just so.
Well, you mentioned the cast too. Here's what I've said this before somewhere, but I don't think it's on the podcast, but Theo James is basically like a less annoying James Franco to me.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he's great. I mean, the whole cast is great, but
yeah,
doubling up. Yeah.
Tatiana Maslany is in it. That plays the kid's mom. She's fantastic.
Oh yes.
Adam Scott plays their dad just very early on. He's only in it for a very short time.
Right. But,
Uncle Chip. Now Uncle Chip is Oz Perkins. I don't know. People don't realize that.
Oh, Oz Perkins. Yeah.
When Uncle Chip and Aunt Barbara, I think, I don't know. But anyway, he's like, if you know this,
Aunt Ida.
And I'm just like, there's just so much insane stuff in this that doesn't have to be in there.
Yes.
But the fact that it is what makes it. Good.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
And I mean,
Keep doing
King renditions, dude. Keep doing them. Keep doing them all fucking.
Yeah. Just
keep doing them.
Yeah. All, as many over as and over. You want.
Yeah. Yeah. You have enough. That well is not going to dry up. Like,
no,
keep doing it. So. Most of them will suck, but like, keep pumping them out, dude. I'm down.
Yeah.
I'm here for it.
Yeah. You cannot go wrong with this movie. I mean, it's super bloody. And
it is very, but it's very
violent. But on the other hand, it's so every kill is so comical that you find yourself laughing. Even if you go, oh my God, you know, but then you start laughing because Yeah. It's so ridiculous.
Yeah. And they I think they purposely tipped that balance of like where it takes you out of it or into being like, this is it's okay. It's fun. It's funny. You know,
Yeah. I used to hate horror comedies mostly because so many of them are done so poorly, but
yeah, that's a good reason to hate them.
We've actually started to find some really good ones. And man, when I find one that I really like, I will sing its praises forever because there's nothing. I mean, that the scare and the horror thing, they're so close to each other anyway that
it's
easy to cross the line, but you can do it very badly. Yes, and there have been a lot of stupid ones, but this isn't one of them. So,
all I want to say is like, what people, if you're listening to this episode, like Troy and I just like, we've put in mostly Troy, but we've put in the work. Like for you to like, so like if we're giving you a recommendation, like I promise you, we're not getting paid for this, which I
would have loved if we are. We get nothing out of it other than enjoyment. You know?
And Troy more so than I have. We've watched so many bad movies throughout the year. So like,
I forgot to check my list, but my
Troy, I shouldn't.
As far as how many, but there were several hundred.
I shouldn't have gone down this road. I just want to tell people like, if we're telling you we like something, then it's like, when you don't know what to find with your spouse or whatever next time, give this one a shot, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, as long as they're not easily offended. So, all right. Now let's go from one that's not funny, or go from one that's funny to one that is definitely not funny. If I had to pick one film off this list, this would tie for number one. I've got two on here that I would call number one.
Okay. This would be my number one. This would be number two for me.
Okay, this is Sinners with Michael B. Jordan. Again, twins. What is
is that?
But I'm telling you, these two in this one, I mean, the Theo James one, it's good. But the twins in this one, you forget. You completely forget it's the same actor.
It's two men talking to each other. It's not the same person. Like,
I was excited about this because I like Ryan Coogler. I like his movies. I've liked every movie he's done so far, and I like the guy. But I was a little put off going, I don't know, man, vampires.
I'm Black Panther to vampires?
I'm a little burned out on vampires. But then, this movie is absolutely incredible.
The music in it is kind of
the music alone. I mean, and the way that everything was handled, just everything about it is so good. The actors are all fantastic. I mean, there just isn't anything in this that I don't like.
Yeah, they had a budget and they used it, and see it, and it comes out on screen. Like it's beautiful.
And while probably 70% of it takes place in one place, mostly in one night.
Right.
But you know, with all the gangster stuff and the bootlegging.
Yes, you would love love all
and
that
the prohibition and the music shit. And the it's just so good. It's hard to know where to even start. It's so good.
I think without giving any spoilers away, I think we basically say it's a bootlegging from Dusk Till Dawn situation. And then make sure you stay for the after.
Yes, do not leave. I know I said this back in April when we first,
talked about
how good this was and encouraged people to go see it. If you waited until now and you're thinking, okay, well, maybe I'll give it a try because these guys love this movie so much. Do not, when the first credits come on, do not leave. There's another 10 minutes of film that is a whole other chapter of everything that you've seen.
It's so great. And anytime someone tells me they've seen this movie, I say, hey, okay, did you watch? And they're like, yes. And I'm like, did it change the movie? They're like, yes.
It changed.
Changed the movie.
That's what I tell because there were so many people are like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, there's a whole scene afterwards.
I know, but
like, this
is a really long ass movie though.
It's long.
It's a good 2 hours.
I don't remember. I didn't know. I just
I didn't know either.
I think there was music and I was just kind of enjoying the, you know, the music at the end.
And
all of a sudden, you know, we shifted to modern day.
No, stop.
But we things shift. And it's really good. So I highly recommend this movie.
And I highly recommend it too.
Yeah, yeah. It's a real winner. So Michael all right, Beach so one. The next one on the list then is one that probably will, a lot of people probably saw maybe the early ones and thinking, do we need another one of these? And yes, we did.
Troy, my number one movie of the year.
Is it really?
This is my favorite horror movie.
Oh, I loved it. I mean, Final I loved
Destination,
it.
I've seen it. Bloodlines.
I've seen it three times.
This is my favorite horror movie of the year.
It was really good. I think that whole opening sequence with that tower is just genius.
Insane. I mean,
it's so good. It's so good.
If you're curious around, watch the first 10 minutes. And then if you're not
you're hooked.
Yeah. If you're not in, then it's not for you. But you're going to watch. That sequence, though, is beautifully shot. It's fucking, it looks amazing. There has to be a ton of CGI, but like you can't tell.
It's not a bad CGI, and there's so many clever little things that are happening.
Yes.
Like every other of the Final Destination films, when things go wrong, it's always that kind of, I always call it the Rube Goldberg thing. And okay, people go, okay. What? And I'm like, I wasn't born in the 1930s, Troy, like you were. So Rube Goldberg is like, you know, just a kind of a crazy. Well, okay. So they ever play that game Mousetrap when you were a kid?
Oh, yeah.
One little thing happens, of course, and it triggers everything. That's what this does. And that's what a Rube Goldberg thing is.
I was talking about something. Gosh, I don't want to spoil. Okay. There was a coin in this film. And I told Brooke when I was watching, I was like, this is going to come up over here. And then later it did. She goes, how'd you know that? And I was like, because they focused on it. They gave it attention. Like they're not wasting any film or digital space here. Like if they're showing us something, it's for a reason, you know? Yeah. And if the wind starts blowing out there, like death's coming. Like, you know, we know just, these things.
Yeah. With all of these films and this one, you know, this is not a continuation. It's not a, you know, direct sequel. It's just it's just kind of follows the same general idea of everything of the other ones. And, you know, there are some good ones mixed in there. The first couple, number five is great. This one is great. Yes. And it is it's a family that is doomed. It's not the only family. It's everyone. Well, I mean, everybody who was supposed
they'll
to
map
die.
It out.
That's
they'll map
all
it out.
We can say, I don't want to give anything away. We can watch it on HBO right
yeah,
now.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah.
So
check it
I mean,
out.
There's, you can check it out for nothing. I mean, if you've already subscribed to stuff, you might as well watch it because
go check it out.
Definitely worth watching. So
it's my favorite horror movie of the year. Yeah. Go check
so
it out.
So good. So good. So my other one that tied for number one, which probably will not be a surprise to you, is this one, and that is Bring Her Back. Now, this was done by Danny and Michael Filippo, who did Talk to Me a couple years ago.
And you
remember how much I love that film.
It was a great one.
And what I like about what they do is they don't have to give you a reason. I mean, there's no backstory to that hand.
And it's beautiful.
The only stories they had were like the legends the kids kept saying, oh, well, I heard this, I heard that. But we don't have any idea if any of it's true.
My biggest fear is I don't want them to do a prequel thing, sort of.
No, know, I don't. I don't know, either. Yeah, I don't, this I kind don't of shit. Need anything else. I don't need to know where the hand came from. I mean, although if they did it, I'm sure
I would watch it and I'd love it.
I would still watch it. But Bring Her Back is not it's definitely not one of those feel good movies. You're not going to go to the theater and see this film and
Troy,
go, oh boy, that was fun.
I'm going to tell you, I didn't watch Bring Her Back yet. I haven't seen it.
Oh, you need to.
Dude. Yeah.
It is so dark, but it is, it was a 4.5 star. It was my tie for my favorite of the year.
No,
it was that good. It's very, very good, but you have to like their kind of films.
Right.
So this is not for everybody.
Yeah.
You liked Talk to Me, you will like this. If you did not, you will not like this, but would encourage people to give it a try. I mean, it's definitely an A24.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So it's definitely one of those. It's, you know, it's The Witch. It's, you know, it's Midsommar. It's you know, it's that kind of stuff. So, but it's definitely worth watching, and I highly encourage people to do so if they have any interest in that at all. And it's just another one of those films that you cannot. Well, kind of like the next one on the list, which was also real close to one of my favorites of the year. It was all, another one almost tied for
number really
one. Like, about everything on here was tied for number one. Pretty close.
Something you mentioned earlier is everything on here, especially everything on here is pretty much very mainstream.
Like, yeah,
it what's good is good, you know.
Yeah, like we're it not, is, and but, this yeah, one this was one of those years where we were really lucky because we had a bounty of things to choose from.
Yeah,
and while there was still the usual load of crap floating around and you know direct to video stuff,
sure,
and even then there were still a couple of things that were definitely worth a
couple
watching,
gems. Yeah,
this was a gem that. Again, I think it's one of those things that we're probably divide people because I've seen a lot of people who do not like it. But I thought Weapons, that's the movie we're talking about now, was fantastic.
I
waited for this movie to come out all year. I like Zach Krieger, who did Barbarian.
Yep.
This is his newest film. And I thought everybody in it was great.
Damn
Julia Garner is great. Josh Brolin is great. There's nobody in this that isn't good.
No, I bet if I check this out, I bet if I looked at budget versus revenue, I bet Weapons probably is at the top of the list. Maybe
I think it it's got to be pretty high.
Simply because it didn't cost a lot to make and was and blew up. Like
it was so mysterious.
I've been waiting for this shit. I've been waiting for this shit like Blair Witch style. Like what is going on? What is happening?
I know, because
all these kids disappear at the same time. What the hell?
Yeah.
Why are they all running and doing that?
Crazy stuff that happens, and then you know, and then the whole twist, which I got to be honest with you, I did not recognize the aunt. That's all I'm going to say. I didn't recognize who it was. I had to look it up afterward. I'm like, oh my god, I can't believe that's who that was.
Okay,
because she's so unlike her normal self in this. And so I wasn't really sure. And, you know, when you find out what happened and what the secret is behind everything and stuff, it's a great twist. And I loved this film. I really did.
Are we supposed to talk about the aunt, or should we not talk?
Isn't it pretty much out there already? I mean, are we really giving up? Are we going to really be giving up?
No, you know what? No, we should still,
Madigan.
That's fine.
But I don't want to give any secrets away. All I was wanted to say is that Amy Madigan, who, if you don't know who she is, she's married to Ed Harris. She is Kevin Costner's wife in Field of Dreams. And she's just this kind, you know, and strikes me in real life as being this kind, sweet person. And then it took me a bit to, I never did figure it out. Kept thinking, who is this lady?
Oh, Troy.
I kept thinking, who is this actress?
I'm okay. Shock to me. I'm just now figuring this out in real time. I thought you were talking about the actual, this is Uncle Buck. This is Gone Baby Gone. This is Field of Dreams. Wow.
Yeah, Amy Madigan. It's Titus Welsberg's wife in Gone Baby Gone. Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
She's great. I mean, like I said, Kevin Costner's wife in Field of Dreams, that's like a key role for her.
Ed Harris's real wife. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Oh.
But I love her. And
she's great. She's phenomenal. Shocked.
I just kept thinking, who is this? And I didn't want to look it up when I was in the theater.
Yeah, you don't want to take yourself out of it.
Wait till I left, and I'm like, "Oh my god, I can't believe
this." Troy, I had no idea until this moment Like, holy shit.
I thought you knew.
No, oh, well, no, good, no. Good, I good, thought we were so. Talking about okay. No.
No,
okay.
I didn't want to give any.
This is perfect. But yeah, but I mean if you watch the film. Movie, then yeah, you're gonna know, you know, they give it up pretty quick. Like, hey, something's a little wonky.
Yeah, something's a little wonky here, right? So
yeah.
All right. So the next one on my list, another Stephen King. And
this is one I haven't seen either. So you gotta tell me about this, because
this is fantastic. Okay. This movie's fantastic. And it is it's horror, and then it's a very dystopian kind of thing.
Okay.
As is the other Stephen King on my list. But this is another one of those films that seems like it would be unmakeable. Like, how would you do this? And how would you do this and it still be good?
How would you do this and it's up on your top fucking 10 list for the end of the year is what I want to know.
Fantastic. I mean, when I had been wanting to see it, this was a Bachman book, one of Stephen King's pseudonym books that he did. And it was written actually before, like, some of his big ones, like The Shining and The Stand. This was actually written before that. And it is a very dystopian story about this contest in America in the future, and people are starving. And it's a, you know, we've got this kind of very fascist society, and it's a bit of a Hunger Games kind of thing where they have one kid from every state is allowed to participate in what they call the long walk. And they walk, they have a route that is, well, they walk until it ends.
Yeah.
And you have to keep moving. You cannot walk at less than 3 miles an hour. If you stop, you're warned. When you get 3 warnings, they just shoot you.
Yeah, they can't.
And that's the end. And so it starts with 50 kids, and it will end when there's one left. Yeah. Right. And you know, the whole thing is, it's like, you know, when you see those films where it's all on one set, that's essentially what this is. Except it's a moving set.
Yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
These kids that are in this, that they're acting in it, they're acting in this. It's the same kind of thing. They did this. They walked this every day.
Yeah. Multiple times
as they went. Yes. And kept going and kept going, and, you know, became friends along the way. Now, the kid that Cooper Hoffman, that is kind of our main character that it's centered around. He was in the only thing I'd ever seen him in was Licorice Pizza, and I don't know if you saw that or not, but that was a good one.
I've heard, good film. I've heard good 70s of it simply because it's of the title, but no,
yeah, it's kind of a I guess you'd call it an almost famous kind of film,
you know.
That's the only thing I'd really seen him in at this point.
He's done some stuff, but nothing that I think anybody else. Licorice Pizza is probably the one that I'd call out.
If people have seen, that's the one they've seen. But I mean, it's like if you take too long to tie your shoe, there's a terrible scene where this kid, I mean, you cannot take a break. You have to eat while you're walking. You cannot stop. You can't, you gotta go to the bathroom while you're walking.
Yeah.
And there's a scene where a kid has horrible diarrhea and he can't stop walking. He has to keep
moving. Oh god.
And I mean, it is horrific.
I imagine the film
is so good, and it's so, like, terrifying, and the kids that are in it are great. And the colonel, the guy who's, like, in charge of the whole thing that keeps everything moving, yelling at them the whole time, is Mark Hamill. And you wouldn't
never
know it. In fact, it wasn't, we left and Sam goes, I just realized that was Mark Hamill.
Was that Mark Hamill?
I'm like, yeah, it was. It was Mark Hamill, but he's great in it. He's really great.
And, it just said too, the writer of Shawshank and Misery and I guess it's talking about Stephen King.
Some guy named Stephen King. It's a real old book of his that came out under a pseudonym and really didn't really get much traction until after it was revealed he was Richard Bachman. But it's there are a couple of those that are really good. This is one of them. The other one also came out this year, but we're not there yet. So
we can be, but
oh, go ahead.
Let's go on
to the next one.
Let's
stick with the order. So the next one on the list was a sequel. In fact, I think it might be my only sequel. I guess if you don't count Final Destination.
Yeah.
It's my only sequel on the list.
And it's a film that I watched today.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I did it today.
And I was hoping it would be. I wasn't sure how they were going to continue this story.
How do you continue the story?
Well, because of what happened.
I that's don't what I'm saying. How do you fucking... Yeah, yeah.
I know. Okay, when you've seen the first one... Right. I don't want to do spoilers, but if you've seen the first one, you know how it ends. And you're like, how do you do a sequel to this movie? Which is... this is Black Phone 2, by the way.
Yes, Black Phone 2.
And it is... It turned out it's... the way they do it is very different. It's the same kids. Well, it's the brother and sister. It's not any of the other kids that are in the first one, but it is the second one, and it's a kind of a tied in mystery that they're following because of dreams that the little sister is having, who you might remember is has kind of a bit of I guess you would say a bit of the Shining,
a little shy.
She's a bit of a psychic thing going on with her. And at this point, you know, some time has moved on. Everyone knows, you know, who they are. They know what happened. They know that Finn, you know, was, you know, managed to kill the grabber and, you know, was saved himself.
Spoiler alert, but
well, yeah, okay. Yeah, but yes, well, if you saw the first one, you already know
this. If you haven't seen it by now, that's your fucking fault for listening to this podcast.
Things aren't going well for him. He's having a tough time. I mean, I would say that since this is, you know, takes place in the 80s, he's PTSD before we had a designation for it.
Yeah, and Troy,
he's definitely traumatized by what happened.
And I want to tell you, like, so I moved into a new house, and I've been hearing just house sounds, which is mm-hmm. a thing, which mm-hmm. is a very real thing. I cleared my entire place 2 days ago with a shotgun because I was like, I think somebody, and it's just the air conditioner, the heater turning on. Heater. Boom. But it sounds like somebody coming up the stairs.
Got to get used to it.
This kid, like, from the first movie to the second movie, like, dude, he's a badass. He's smoking weed. We clearly know he's smoking weed because he has to calm down and everything.
Right.
But like it's been supposed to be 3 years. He's grown up, blown up.
And she has too. His sister has too.
Yeah. So, but he's just now this angry young man.
Sure.
Where he's just like, no, fuck everything. And like, but I'm going to protect all my shit. Like he's, I did not expect this angle coming from him, but if you think about it, it makes a lot of sense, right?
It does. It makes perfect sense.
Like, this is what he would roll into is growing up as a young man into
But if
this.
if you like the first film, for anybody who's listening, if you like the first one, you're going to like this one.
Of course.
Even if you think, how are they going to do a sequel? Just roll with it, because they do. And it works. And it really works. And that's the reason why it's probably the only sequel on my list for this year.
It starts to like establish like a... Not like a Freddy Krueger type sort of
kind of
thing.
It
could keep going.
Like that. I agree with you. Yeah.
Yeah, where it could keep going.
They could. I don't know that they will, but I think.
I don't think they should. But I don't think they should. But also, I never expected even Black Phone 2. You know what I mean? Like I never.
No,
saw
I
that.
Didn't either. I didn't either. So
yeah,
I didn't either.
But yeah, great one, Troy. This one. Oh my God. I'm so happy you had me watch this one because
I love this movie, and I knew I was going to love it when I saw what it was about and how it was done. And this was a very small film that was supposed to be released direct to video. And once it started making the rounds at some of the horror, you know, film festivals, they said, oh, you know what? We're going to put this in the theater, even if it's only for a couple of weeks. And they did. And then as soon as it was available, because it didn't come in around anywhere around here. And as soon as it was available, I immediately watched it. And if you love dogs, if you even like dogs, you will love this movie. It's so good. And it's called Good Boy. Now, that's
so,
not to be mistaken for that Elijah Wood thing where he was wearing a dog costume or something. Because
that was Wilbur.
Oh, was it? Okay. There was some other weird movie about a guy in a dog costume.
No, that was it was a series.
Oh, was it?
Okay. Yeah.
Well, anyway,
it was just
this
as
isn't
weird.
It. This isn't it. This is about a dog who is his owner is sick. We know this because the movie is mostly seen from the viewpoint of the dog. It's not like through his eyes, but we kind of understand.
It's not dog POV, but it is. But it is. We don't get to see the owner's face and stuff like that.
Because it's
dog-ish.
Yeah.
View.
Yeah. And so we don't know what's going on for sure with his owner, because he doesn't know.
He's just trying to live his life.
But he's devoted and loyal to this guy and wants to do whatever he can. All he knows is that he's very confused because his owner is not like himself. He's being very different. Mm-hmm. And so he's confused. And then he realizes when they go to this farm where his grandfather used to live, where he's just trying to get out of this city and try to relax because he thinks he's dying. And he is.
Yeah. And
he's sick. And so he goes out to the farm for some peace and quiet. And I also think to get away from his nagging sister.
Who means well,
but kind of annoying. Anyway, the dog starts to realize there's something on this farm.
There's an evil presence here.
And so the dog is going to try and protect him as best he can. And this movie is short. It's not very long. I told Cody, he was like, do you think I've got time to watch this? Definitely. It's like an hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah. It's like 90 minutes or whatever.
But
it's so good.
It's so good.
It is so good. And for anybody that's worried about dog stuff,
the dog survives. The dog is fine. I'm going to give you that spoiler. The dog is fine. So the dog does not die.
And the reason Troy told me we're good to go, because I love puppies over people so much. But what I love about this, Troy, is according to director Ben Leonberg, shooting took over 400 days over 3 years because it's a dog.
Yeah, right. I mean, he's a good – you could tell he's a good dog.
And it's a good dog.
He's still a dog.
Yeah, and they do try to get certain reactions out of the pup. But it's all fine. When you're watching it, you might be like, oh, I'm happy they did that to the dog. But it's just the dog gets scared for a second or the dog backs up or the dog barks. The dog's fucking fine. It's fine.
Well, and we always have this joke about when we'll be watching something and Sam will go, that dog's not acting or that baby's not acting in a movie. And we'll just laugh.
It's very true.
In this one comes on and I said, this dog is acting.
That is interesting probably because it's probably acting because they made it do the same thing 10 times in a row. But I don't think it's acting.
I don't think he's like a trained
animal.
He's just this guy's dog. I mean, the guy who made the film, it's just his dog.
Yeah, because I don't think you could train it to be like, okay, look up in the corner and be like,
no.
Growling.
Well, I mean,
like, that's
they
not.
They do train animals all the time.
Yeah,
film.
But not like that.
Lassie, listen, there are lots of trained dogs.
Lassie barks
there.
At a well.
Well, I know, but lots of trained dogs in the history of films.
I should have looked
this up. This is not one of them. This is just this guy's dog, but he's great.
He's great and also good. Nothing bad happens to the dog.
Yeah, no, nothing does. Now, the next one on the list, I hesitated about putting this on here.
Why?
I'm not sure.
I haven't got to see it yet, but this is the most anticipated.
I know. I go back and forth on whether or not these are horror films or sci-fi.
Stop it.
You know, but regardless, I put Predator Badlands on here because it was just so good.
It has
some very scary moments and it's really good. And if you like the Predator films, which I think I have talked about over and over and over again,
and we can keep doing it right now
doing this podcast,
we can do it right now.
I love the Predator films. I have gone back and since I watched this, I've kind of went backward and watched, Alien versus Predator. I watched Predators. I watched The Predator and then went back and watched Predator 2.
Oh, wait, did you watch
my absolute. Well, I love.
Wait,
Alien
did you watch Alien
versus Predator?
You didn't watch Requiem again?
No, I pretend that one doesn't exist.
Troy, no, that's just, you didn't rewatch that one? I don't think
that
you have a
terrible.
Full analysis. Then if
yeah, it's terrible. Alien
so
versus
much.
Predator Requiem is awful.
I am a fan.
Do not like that one. So, but the first one, the director's cut, especially with the extra half an hour, I like that one. I mean, it's essentially a big video game kind of thing.
Wait, of Requiem?
No. Alien versus Predator, the original one.
The
first one with the pyramid and everything. It's just cool. You know, I mean, it's just cool because it has kept the mythology going. See,
let's go to the Arctic.
I try to explain to everybody that, well, I love movies in the Arctic, The Thing, starting with The Thing.
Oh, so, that is a thing with you.
I do love the snow stuff.
I hadn't thought about that. All right, so I'm writing that down.
The first Predator movie is just like an 80s steroid, gung-ho, bad, you know.
Let's fucking go.
I ain't got time to bleed kind of stuff.
Yeah, look at my guns. Come on, man. I have guns on my
guns. It is what it is. It's clever. It's okay. It's good.
It's beautiful. It's what it is.
But Predator 2 establishes the mythology.
In of L.A. Him,
of what he does. They hunt. Yes. They only, you know, they fair fight hunt. If you don't have a weapon, they're not going to kill you.
They don't get.
They only. It has to be a fair fight. It has to. I mean, which
I do like that part too.
In the like, you know, when he picks up the detective and he sees that she, even though she's got a gun, he sees that she's pregnant, lets her live.
Yeah.
And so, you know,
we have Gary Busey's teeth. They're going into some place called Troy. No, I love what you're. I love it too.
Yeah.
But I also do love that it's like even in Predator walks in,
which is sees
the woman and she's doing the kind of detox clean thing or whatever, and he looks at her and he's like, no, and he just killed a bunch of people, no, it's fair fight kind of shit.
Gotta be fair fight. And like Predators, the one with Adrian Brody on the planet, love that one. I just watched that again too.
Absolutely
love that one.
So good.
And Prey, you know, Prey that came out a couple of years ago, the Native American
Hulu
one, which I always tell everybody, it's still on there. And you do have the option to watch it in Lakota. And
watch it in Lakota.
Do it that way with the subtitles, is so much better than dubbed. It's just so much better. So
watch it.
This one takes place on an alternate. It's on a planet. It's on another planet. And this, for the first time, they have brought together the alien Predator thing, because the company is there from Alien. The company is
Weyland-Yutani, whatever.
Yes, is here on this planet.
I haven't seen this yet. I'm so excited.
Elle Fanning is an android from Weyland-Yutani.
Yeah,
and so she, when the Predator, the original Predator in this, finds her, and he's kind of a unique character too.
He's
like a runt. Predator. He's like smaller than his brother, who always protected him, and his father sucks. And so his father orders his brother to just kill him because
we get family dynamics.
A family of predators, and the father orders the brother to kill him, but he lets him escape the planet. So he's determined to bring back this creature that is, you know, has killed so many of the Predator over the years. And so he goes to this planet to bring it back. And that's when he meets Elle Fanning, or half of Elle Fanning.
Because Troy, I love
he's been
so
ripped in half. But okay, you've got to watch it.
You got to stop.
Yeah, I'll stop. I'm not giving anything away. There's so much that happens in this movie, but I'm not giving anything away.
We have Predator family dynamics. I'm so excited.
It's very good. And I think you will really like it. So,
dude, I love every Predator, every Alien movie, all of it. I'm just mad I haven't seen that one yet. But okay, now we could.
All right, so the next one on the list was a direct. Well, it did come out in the theater, I think, for one weekend, but not anywhere around here. I watched it on Netflix, and this is Frankenstein. If you don't know already, Oscar Isaac, Jacob Elordi plays the creature, and Christoph Waltz is in it, and this is phenomenal. Listen, I'm not a Frankenstein fan. I'm just not. I never have been. I've always found the Frankenstein, the creature, I've always found it to be a little slow for me. You know, it's never really been my thing. It's very gothic-y, but everything about it is the reason why it's perfect for Guillermo del Toro. When he made The Shape of Water, that was his homage to the creature from the Black Lagoon.
It's
beautiful. It's a fantastic.
It is a beautiful film.
This film, though, I wished I could have seen it in the theater.
No shit.
Because it's some of the scenery in this, every time it would go to a new shot, I would go to Sam. I'd go, oh my God, look at that. I mean, yeah. It's just amazing.
It just fucking looks.
The cinematography is just phenomenal. It's breathtaking.
Yeah,
it really is.
I bet.
And
I bet.
Acting is all great. Everything about it is great.
It sounds amazing.
It's
dude.
Just, and he moves it along. He moves
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Let's keep it going. Let's keep it beautiful. Let's keep
it's
going.
It's told from the story of Victor Frankenstein, and then it's told from the point of view of the creature. And it's different. They're completely different stories, okay. But it follows the story in that it begins in the Arctic where they find this man, and it's Victor, and he's hunting for the creature, and he tells his story to the ship's captain, and then you go back and relive it. And Mia Goth plays two different characters in this. She plays Victor's mother, and then later plays his brother's love interest, who the creature also falls in love with. But
right.
Jacob Elordi's fantastic in this. He's, I mean, the dude is like 6'7" anyway.
Yeah,
in real life.
But that's a big person.
He's really good in this. And, you know, I see people are like, oh, it's so slow. It's a gothic horror film.
It's supposed to be. Yeah.
It's like the people who couldn't understand why Crimson Peak was, they're like, I don't get it. It's so boring.
Yeah.
It's not boring at all. And it's beautiful.
If you pay attention.
Yeah. But yeah, it's definitely you have to have a thing for these gothic films.
Yeah.
Because that's the kind of thing he does. And but I mean,
you got to be ready to put your phone down.
His career was to make this film. I mean, this is what he's been wanting to make for years.
This was the end of the
his magnum opus. But
there you
I
go.
Mean, obviously, I hope he keeps making more because guy's a great filmmaker. But this was really good. I mean, it's a phenomenal film. And I was really glad I got to see it. And I we'll watch it again for sure.
Yeah, sure. At some point we'll blast it out on a
I'm waiting for the 4K UHD beautiful box set edition so that I can watch it again. But anyway, so the next one on the list is my other Stephen King film of the year. And again, this was one that I questioned whether or not I should make this a horror film because it's a lot of sci-fi-ish kind of thing. But you know what? I found that being a dystopian kind of horror thing, I think it was worth it to put it on here. And besides that, it's our list. So but it's The Running Man.
This is not
the Arnold Schwarzenegger version.
No, not the Arnold Schwarzenegger.
While there is humor in this, don't get me wrong, there's some funny stuff in this in a really dark way. There's some real dark humor. But on the other hand, this movie is the book. This is the way it was.
Is it really?
It's very, very much like the book where it's for an entire month. There's no corny, costume, goofy things. I mean, there's a little of that with this team coming to hunt him, but it's not like the Arnold Schwarzenegger one.
Okay. That's what you mean.
But it's nonstop.
It's violent.
It never stops moving. Oh yeah, but it never stops moving. This movie, as soon as it starts, and once the game begins, it never stops moving. It just keeps going the entire time. And man, it's good.
It's another. I guess it's Glenn Powell.
Glenn Powell.
But another. Handsome man, crazy horror movie thing, like we were talking about earlier, pretty much.
Yeah, I guess.
And dude's just badass.
It's a good way to look at it.
And and shit pops off, and it doesn't stop.
Desperation sends him into the game.
Yeah.
It's the future. Jobs are scarce, and they have these games that are like gladiator type things for people's entertainment. They're all violent. And you can get into a lot of different games, and he tries to get into a bunch of them, but his personality, he's so jaded by this point in his life. And
his
family's worn down, and he's trying to save his daughter's life because she's sick. And he's like, I'm going to sign up for one of these games, and they stick him in The Running Man. And he does not expect to be put there.
Well, yes. And it's also Edgar Wright. So Shaun of the Dead, yes. World's End, yes. Baby Driver, Last
Baby
Night
Driver.
Soho.
That's all you gotta say. Baby Driver, as far as I'm concerned.
But Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
He's Edgar
some Grindhouse
great.
Stuff. Like, dude, just you know what we know what we're getting into here. Like,
that's
we're getting into fun, violent chaos.
Absolutely. And it is, but man, it's good.
It's so good
stuff. Yeah. All right. So the last one on my list, and I don't know if you get a chance to watch this or not.
This is the last one I haven't seen.
Okay. Well, the last one I have on the list is called Shelby Oaks. And I've been waiting for this one to come out because it is a, not completely, but it is a mix of regular film and found footage. It's kind of got a Blair Witch feel to it.
That's what I'm seeing.
Has some actual story too. And so we're seeing a lot of these videotapes because there's a girl who is looking for her sister. She's been looking for her sister for years. She vanished without a trace.
Yeah.
And all they have are these videotapes. And that's what she's using to try to hunt her down. Mike Flanagan was the
executive producer
on this. Yeah. And there are a couple of faces you'll recognize from it. Michael Beach plays a detective in it. He's been in a lot of TV shows, a lot of different things. But Brendan Sexton III, who plays the sister who's looking for her sister, he plays the husband, but he is the kid. He's just a kid in Session 9. He's the with the mullet. They keep calling him mullet. He's the one who's afraid of the dark. Who's down in the basement
and that's him.
And so he's obviously much older now because that.
Yeah, he's a man now.
1999. But this movie is I've heard it kind of the mix is they say it's a mixture between Blair Witch and Hereditary.
No. Okay. So, well, you have my attention. Yeah.
It's worth watching. Yeah. It's 90 minutes or something. And I watched it on, I just rented it. I bought it. I bought a copy because I'd been seeing stuff about it.
Yeah.
And it was coming out. So I bought it on Amazon and watched it. And definitely worth watching.
I really liked it. Cause I'm on IMDb now and I see kind of the trailer and it is bouncing back and forth between found footage and not found footage.
Yeah.
It's
good stuff. It really is.
That's awesome.
Reviews have been mixed, but I really liked it. So, I mean, that's how it ended up on the list.
So it's on the list, dude.
Yeah. So, and I got three also rans that I don't need to put a lot of discussion back into, but one of them is a sequel. It didn't make my top list, but it was close. I really liked the sequel to The Strangers. It's short, but I really liked it. I think that Rennie Harlan, this is book two or chapter two. He could have done two chapters because this one is short. I don't know how long the third one's going to be, but this one was pretty short. Oh, the other thing I liked about Shelby Oaks too, is that they filmed parts of it at Mansfield Reformatory in Ohio, which was kind of cool too, because I recognized the building and the places that she was in the building, which was kind of cool. I'd forgotten about that. But I did want to mention it because people who are out there who have a thing, know about that place. That's a place that is genuinely haunted and is also the prison they use from Shawshank too. Years ago, of course.
Well, also Camille Sullivan apparently is who plays Mia, and I interviewed her for Letterkenny.
I'll be darned. Or
Shorzy.
I didn't know that's who she was. Darned. Okay.
Or Shorzy, should I say?
Very cool.
Yeah.
But anyway, Strangers Chapter 2, I liked. I didn't make my list, but it was pretty close. Bone Lake was another one.
I did hear a lot.
Yeah, that was a good one. That was the recent one, and I really liked it. It was a kind of home invasion thriller, which can be really good, or they can go either way.
Those are some they of my can be booze,
really
you know, get...
good. They can be Hush and The Strangers, or they could be Straw Dogs, and skewed more toward Strangers
that's the nerdiest horror movie joke you could have fucking made, and I love it so much.
This is also in that genre that's becoming kind of new of people who get mistakenly booked for the same weekend Airbnb like Barbarian. It kind of runs on that too. So, but it's worth watching. It's very clever.
I thought
this was well done. It's got a good twist to it, and I really liked it. The other one I really liked.
Yes.
And I almost put this on the list.
Tell me.
So close to the list.
What are we doing?
Is Dangerous Animals.
Oh,
I don't know if you saw that or not, but if you have it, you've got to watch it, man.
I did see Dangerous Animals.
That, again, talk about something new and something clever.
I don't know.
It was really close to being on my list. It was that. I really liked it.
Really?
I was surprised at how much I liked it. I did not expect to like it as much as I did, but I thought it was really clever, and it was not your usual serial killer film.
It is. Definitely I will give you that. It was not your usual shit. I don't. I can't tell any spoilers.
For uniqueness alone.
Worth it. Yes, yeah. Uniqueness alone, it's worth
for
it.
Sure.
But it does remind me of the true mob story where I think I told you that they took a guy out in the boat, some mob guys in New York somewhere, and shot him in the face. And then just they chummed the waters, shot him in the face, and then just tossed this dude overboard. And I was so after that, I was like, I ain't fucking with the mob or sharks anymore, which I never had to worry about
it anyway. But I liked it. Don't go into it expecting too much, but it is pretty good. So
it's wild. Anyway, and talk about unique. Yeah.
Yes, definitely unique.
I'll give it that.
Yeah. Another one that was really unique that this is the last one.
Is
the Rule of Jenny Penn. Did you see that?
No, I have no idea.
John Lithgow.
Really?
Who else?
I'm looking it up.
Jeffrey Rush.
This looks like
and they play a couple of old guys in an old folks home, and John Lithgow is completely insane and he's bullied. And he's mean to everybody.
I'm looking at this right now.
He is a psychopath, and he walks around with this doll, and it's really good. It is not what you would expect. Is messed up. And Jeffrey Rush is great in it.
Neither of these guys would be in this.
Judge who's here and. Yeah, Jeffrey Rush, he's had a stroke. And so he's in this kind of I wouldn't call it a nursing home. I would call it like an assisted living home.
That's what it says.
John Lithgow is completely insane.
Well,
worth watching. It's a watch. It's worth watching.
I'm watching the trailer on silent on IMDb.
Yes,
but I'm telling you, but neither of these two men would be in this movie if it wasn't fucking Stephen King. One of the best movies I've seen this year.
Yes,
it's crazy. It's
crazy.
Slowly insane. Like
I'm seeing old folks movies. This was a good one, and so was the one with Pete Davidson, The House or The Home.
That
was pretty good too.
It was.
They weren't good enough to make my list, but I really enjoyed them. So
I know. Yes.
They still definitely had some good things going for them.
Who would have thought?
I'm planning to watch Keeper tonight, which is Oz Perkins' other movie.
Okay.
Reviews, but I'm gonna be watching that later this evening.
Hell yeah!
I guess if it makes the list, it's too late now. But it's we're done for this year. But I'm excited to see that. But listen, if you get a chance to watch The Rule of Jenny Penn, watch it. Watch it. I mean, it's nuts. I mean, all you have to see is that doll with no eyes.
I had to get off the tab.
Scary. Yes.
I
know, because it just popped up on my screen and it was like coming through a curtain and I'm like, what is going on?
Trying to record.
But it is terrifying. So anyway, definitely worth taking a look if you get a chance.
Yeah.
Do you have anything you want to add to it or are we good?
No, bud. I think we smoked it to the filter. I think we're good to go, dude.
Yeah, we've run the gamut here. So All right. Well, guys, that was our list for this year. So if you, you know, get a chance to watch any of this stuff, let us know what you think.
Check it out.
If there's something that really you dig, or if there's something you really hate that we started talking how much we loved,
yeah,
you can let us know that too. It's okay. We don't mind. This is our list. This is our personal opinions here. So we don't claim to be movie critics or anything right. like that.
But we are, and our opinions are right.
Well, right, exactly. So, but as you've been through this entire season of films with us, I don't know how we're gonna top this season.
I don't think we can.
Entertainment wise, at least for us,
we'll figure
but you never
out.
Know. We've got a new season coming. We'll kick off in January, just like we always do. So keep an eye out for that. And in the meantime, we will have the other podcast still going. We'll have the Patreon podcast for
everything
our Patreon
going.
Subscribers. American Nightmares will keep going, except for just this one week that I know of. American Dread too. We'll keep everything rolling here. So, and then the American Hauntings podcast, our flagship, I guess you would say.
Yes, we'll our flagship.
So we'll be back around. So guys, hopefully you will have a very great and very haunted holiday season. And don't forget, if you want to join me tonight on that Zoom, you can just go to American Hauntings Books. And you'll find the link right there. It's also all over in the newsletters I've been sending out and on your Patreon and on my Facebook page as well.
Yeah, dude, so, go hang out with my dude.
Yeah. Yep. All right, guys. Well, thanks a lot. And we'll, oh God, I was almost to say we're going to see you next year.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we will, we'll talk to you next time around and happy holidays.
Yeah. Goodbye. So long. See you later. All that bullshit.
It's all right. All right. Take care.
All right. Bye.